Hot water heaters, solar, continuous flow and storage hot water. Ream is Australia's favourite. Install a Ream.
Welcome to the Sunday Rub. Triple M rocks football.
Yes, welcome to Etihad Stadium under the roof, I might add. Quite magnificent at the moment. Expecting a good day today on Triple M footy. The Bombers taking on the in-form Western Bulldogs. And aren't we up and about their form at the moment? They're travelling along very, very nicely indeed. Can it continue? We find out at 3:20 today when the ball is bounced to get this one underway. Joining me here as part of the Sunday afternoon team today, the Dark Wayne Kerry is with us, Jay-Z, Jay Clark from the Herald Sun, Barry Denner is with us on Triple M Football, Ash, the Chew Man, more commonly known as the Chewer, will come in a little bit later on as well. Duck, good afternoon, welcome to you.
Yeah, g'day boys, g'day listeners. Looking forward to a good day, game of footy today, BT.
I'm genuinely excited about the Bulldogs.
No, so am I, and I think the Bombers, the way they've played over the last few weeks has been exciting. They're taking the game on. So we'll see a free-flowing, hopefully highly skilled game.
Jay-Z, as we welcome yourself and Baz, the final eight and the ladder position at the moment. We're going to speak to Mark Evans very, very shortly, the operations manager of the AFL. Lee Adams will join us as well. Daniel G and Sarah Cusa and Travis Collier. But before we do any of that, the eight, what do you make of it?
Well, I think it's set, BT. We can put a line through the Magpies, I think, after six straight losses. Geez, they were disappointing against Melbourne yesterday. For me, it's Adelaide in ninth and GWS in tenth. The only real clubs who can jump into the top eight. But I think the Western Bulldogs in seventh and eighth, I think that is how it will be come round 23. In that game, Adelaide versus Geelong, the Dangerfield game it'll be down at Simmons Stadium. Maybe that's the game for eighth spot.
What do you reckon, Baz?
Yeah, I reckon he's right, Jay. I reckon the Adelaide Crows-Richmond game next Friday night too. That's going to be the one for the Crows if they are going to challenge and sneak in. But the eight looks pretty settled, Brian.
It does. So you're wiping off anyone from 11th position onwards, Jay. So Collingwood, Port Adelaide cannot make it.
Well, you look at Collingwood yesterday against Melbourne. They were listless. And Nathan Buckley said it after the game, Nathan, that the effort wasn't there, was it? So I just don't see, over the past month and a half, the Pies forcing their way and turning that ship around.
No, I just had a quick look at the draw. I think Adelaide are the only team that can come in and Geelong maybe go out. And that's only because the Cats have got Sydney, Hawthorne, St Kilda, Collingwood. There's not an easy game there. St Kilda are playing some good footy. Whereas Adelaide, big one, as you said, as Richmond next week, but then they've got Essendon and Brisbane, the two after that, and then West Coast Cats.
What about the absolute top end of the AFL ladder? And we speak of the two West Australian teams, Fremantle and West Coast. I mean, we've never seen it before where we've had a first week in a finals where we may, in fact, and it's looking more and more likely as each week goes by, that they're going to have to find room for two finals in Perth in the first week of the finals.
Perth will go nuts, won't it? And what if it turns out to be a Derby preliminary final as well? It's a footy mad state. They've never had a Derby final, but those two teams playing well. Bit of a blip for West Coast last night, though, with a draw against the Gold Coast. You've been a bit flat on the Eagles, BT.
Well, yeah, we'll talk about them shortly as well, Jay-Z, because they deserve some talk. I'm a bit flat. I'm still not convinced, and here we are, almost season over, and they're sitting, you know, second on the ladder.
Well, their acid test comes up against a team that doesn't lose back-to-back, the Hawks, this week.
Yep, it does indeed. Saturday night football, looking forward to going over there myself and actually witnessing that one. We've got the AFL operations manager online. Mark Evans is kind enough to give us a couple of moments. Mark, appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, g'day, guys.
Hey, before we get stuck into the reviews, just how have you seen the back end of the Adam Good stuff and how the whole football community has handled it this weekend?
One thing I would say is, yet again, we've seen there's a lot of good people in the world. And we saw it with Neil Danaher and Maddie's match. We saw it with what Adelaide went through with the loss of Phil Walsh. And I just thought it was an amazing response from Sydney and all around the country. So hopefully that goes some way to helping the situation.
Mark, it's Jay Clark here from the Herald Sun. We want to get straight to the goal review incident last night, the Adelaide versus Sydney match. Matthew Wright, the Adelaide midfielder, looked like he got a clear boot to ball, which knocked the Sharon over the line for the goal. The umpire reviewed it and only gave it a behind. Now, you look time and time again over the replays, and it seems like it was a clear goal. Have you had a look at it? Do you think it was an error?
I was at Etihad last night, so I've seen it on my iPhone a number of times. That I texted someone last night and said the first angle I thought we might not have kicked it, but then the second one looks reasonably clear. So to me, it looks like it has skimmed his toe and he's been clever enough to kick that goal. It looked like the ball rotated forward a bit. We'll wait until we see it on our prop system tomorrow when you can triangulate across different vision. But my gut feel on this one is that that was a goal.
How is the goal review process travelling, do you think, Mark? Is this just a human error which you just accept as part of it, or are you sort of reviewing how you go about the process at the moment?
Accept is too strong a word, because you don't want to get them wrong if you can actually see it. But I saw the stats last week, and I think we'd had calls for just around about 100 reviews, and 21 or 22 of those had changed the goal umpire's original call. And pleasingly for us, we're not really seeing many of the lengthy reviews. I think for the first time we're actually averaging in the low 20 seconds, which seems to be, works really well for our game.
Mark, is it possible, and have you considered centralising the reviews and putting them into one bunker, say at AFL headquarters, or is that a cost factor and it just can't be achieved, or is it a technology factor that can't be achieved? And also, I'm wondering whether you agree that you would then get, of the 9 games that are going on every weekend, you would then have the best decision maker or the best reviewer in the room all the time, which gives great consistency.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. That's the real benefit of that centralised bunker. Where we have a lot of games, so if we take MCG and Etihad, our reviewers there get a lot of practice. And I think we'd be sitting, in terms of what we would regard as conclusive, it's in the low 90%, which is fantastic. And no errors from any of those games, and really quick reviews as well. When you go around the country, there are some venues, I think Sydney, that might have been their fourth review for the year. And so you do need a little bit of practice. As much as we try and get people to practice midweek when we have an issue, we send them some vision saying, process this. It's not quite the same as processing it live when broadcasters and the public sitting at the venue are waiting for you to come back with a call. So, look, we haven't had a bad year with it, but we certainly, if you see something there that should be overruled, we like it to be done.
Well, certainly, Mark, the DRS process is a hot talking point over there in the Ashes, and they're not getting them all right either, mate, so no one's perfect. Hey, just quickly before we finish, you had a chat with the Commission, I think it was last Tuesday, a bit of an update on the state of the game. Clearly, there's been a lot of conversation about the aesthetics of it at the moment and trying to lessen the congestion. Have you come up with anything yet, or have you been able to build a solid case for something we can do to help change that ugly congestion we're seeing at the moment?
The chat with the Commission was really to set up the process across the rest of the year. We said we'd come back with a number on interchange, or our thoughts on interchange, and we'll try and do that before the end of this season. And then anything else would be November, December. So I talked the Commission through that. And I think there was acceptance that particularly the first half of this year, we weren't talking about these issues. The ball seemed to be getting out of that congested area and flying around the ground, and we weren't worried too much. In the middle of winter, with teams imbalanced, there may be a change in coaching philosophy where there might be some extra congestion and maybe some role that umpiring needs to take place to take charge of as well. I think we've seen a couple of games where it's reverted to the stuff we didn't like.
So your gut feel is that the interchange will come down, and is there any chance we'll see a trial of any zones sort of in the NAB Challenge next year, or how open are you to that idea?
No, well, first of all, the interchange, we're still consulting with all of the clubs. Until we get through that, I won't give an indication of what my views are. Mm-hmm. But I am convinced that the Laws Committee have two things that we need to focus on in the short to medium term. One is how we continue to make the game safer for the participants and protect players from injury in particular. And the second is we need to find a way to spread the game out. And we talk congestion or stoppages. I've never been fearful of stoppages, but I do like it if there's a stoppage that we can see good connection and good play where the ball then gets back out into open space. So that's going to be our focus.
A lot to think about, that is for sure. Mark, appreciate your time.
Thanks, guys.
General Manager of Operations at the AFL, Mark Evans, there joining us. I just remind people of my State of the Game address last week. There's no need for a whole host of rule changes or changing the...
You were saying that you wanted a lot of changes.
No. Changing the rules and bringing in new rules, what we need to do is go back and get rid of some rules, right? Not go forward and add, go back. And that is trim the interchange down to 10 a quarter, no sub. All of a sudden, the forwards, the big men, have to stay off the ground if they're going to rest the midfielders, because they'll use the changes, the 10 changes per quarter with them. all of a sudden big forwards like yourself have got to stay in the, you know, the forward end with an opponent, and we'll all of a sudden have at least eight players out of the contest.
Yep.
Eight players at each end out of the contest.
I like it, BT.
That's 16.
I like it.
Do you like zones, Duck?
No.
You know, three forwards have to be in the forward 50 when there's a
bounce.
That's changing
the integrity of our game.
Absolutely. Leave the game alone. I agree with BT. I think if the interchange comes down, I think it fixes a hell of a lot of problems. I was actually at the...
And then when you've done that, stamp it and go, boom! Moratorium on rule changes for 5 years. No
Don't
rule changes.
Yep, I like that. I was actually at an underage competition this morning, and they have... Zones. They have the zones, and they have that for a reason. So little kiddies don't all follow the free around in one area.
And they talk about the TAC Cup, and I've been to TAC Cup games where they say you've got to have a couple back inside 50. Yeah. And that is a loosely, that's not a hard and fast rule.
Loosely governed?
Yes, and the umpires will simply go to the coaches at quarter time or half time and say, hey, listen, you better make sure you've got those guys back behind. It's not something they go, bang, you're out of your zone, so we're paying a free kick against you.
How often do you watch Hawthorn play footy, and when they, the fast break out of defence or through the middle of ground, do they look up and have to stop and go sideways and go, because they keep their structure?
Yeah, they have six forwards.
And they have natural forwards, they have natural readers of the play, and they don't just run in their patterns and then run out of position and then can't get back because they're told where to run.
Yeah.
They're reading the game all the time. So the very good teams don't have those situations.
You're happy, Jay-Z, with the what we make of the answer about the bunker? Not possible?
I think it's a costly sort of setup, isn't it? So they're trying to work within the financial parameters they've got. And I think
these reviewers? The people would like to know. They should have asked Mark Evans that, actually. Who are they? Is it...
He thinks the Sydney one's going to be jumpy.
Is it Doris and Kevin from Row 6? Or is it someone from the Herald Sun? Who are they?
Professor
Is it Shebexter?
I'm not sure, but he was a bit flat on the Sydney ones. I think the Sydney ones, if they get a copy of this interview, they might... they've only had four this year, and they might have stuffed a couple up.
We'd like them to have some practice, because they do seem to get it wrong when they don't. Let's focus back last night. We've got a lot of issues to cover off today. Carlton played North Melbourne last night. North Melbourne really got hold of them in the first quarter. Carlton had two good quarters in the middle, and then North got hold of them again in the last. What are you making of Johnny Barker and the Blues at the moment, JZ?
Well, it was extraordinary, I thought, in the post-match press conference afterwards, fellas, because Johnny Barks, you know, usually keeps pretty cool, calm and collected, but he didn't miss some blokes in the press conference last night. He basically... called them out, really. He said, we need blokes at the Carlton Football Club who want to be here. And at the moment, we've got too many passengers, basically. I mean, he's trying to preach a team-first philosophy at Carlton, especially in the run home. So many opportunities for key players out. And I think he might have pointed the finger at a couple of boys, fellas.
Let's have a listen.
I think there's a handful of players that are now just not displaying that sort of grit that we're talking about, that we talked about a bit earlier, which is disappointing. It'd be nice to turn them over, but we're starting to lose some of our levers at match committee because of 14 or 15 that are unavailable at the moment. So it's, you know, we've run out of soldiers, and it'd be nice to use that lever. In fact, it's, you know, when you get control of a group like this, and it's hard to really drive a strong imprimatur in a short period when you don't have time on the track, so you're relying on other levers, and they're running out too.
Who's he referring to there, do you reckon?
Well, I think it's Chris Yaron, Lockie Henderson, too, who haven't been playing well. Body language questionable at times.
Yeah, I've been watching Yaron for 6 or 8 weeks now, and he's been very up and down in that area.
Poor?
Really poor. Mm. Poor at times. Last night, there was a great example where he just turned and started to walk to goals, and his man led up and he was presented and he had his back to the play. It was just shocking. Mm. And there have been several examples of that in the last few weeks.
Well, I don't think either player's going to be at the Carlton Football Club next year. Yaron and Henderson. And at the moment, you know, Barker's hamstrung. He has got a lot of injuries, so he can't really send a strong message and drop these key players. But it looks to me as if those two guys have got their minds elsewhere, Duck.
Yeah, look, I've probably watched Henderson a little bit as well, and for me, it's about consistency in his effort, and his body language at times doesn't look to be great. He hasn't had a great year. I think he's got a lot on his mind. He doesn't know whether he's staying or going. And I do believe that sometimes. I honestly believe in his own mind he probably doesn't really know what he wants to do. But they, unfortunately for Carlton, they just can't afford to lose these guys, unfortunately, because they need to keep every player with talent, and they've clearly got talent. And if they were to leave, then they most certainly have to get something for them.
Mm. No doubt about it. And it's I mean, the coach has already been changed, Jay. Mm. I mean, so what's this about? I mean, there's an air of enthusiasm comes back into the club. You get the refreshed face. Away we go. Let's recharge and go out again. And we're obviously talking about two individuals here that haven't had that recharge and are just sort of just going through their paces.
Mm. What are they worth, these two fellas?
Yaron's got to be an interesting one. He was a first round draft pick, quite a low one from memory. He's only 24 years of age, so mm-hmm. he's got plenty of footy left. He's a magnificent user and runner of the footy, right? And I'd be surprised if there's a team out there that doesn't need a really top level. I'm talking probably in the best half a dozen in the competition, top level kicker coming out of defence. And I reckon that can be worth something. That's got to be worth a high first-round pick, I reckon.
Mm. Yeah, when he's at his best, I think he's a great player. And Henderson's been linked to Geelong,
yep.
as we know. So
and
Geelong,
the Bulldogs.
Yeah, so Henderson, obviously, Dangerfield, and also Selwood from West Coast have all been linked to there. So if they were to get to those three, the Cats would be back in the hunt. But I know we're talking about the Blues.
So Yaron was a pick six originally, 2008. Could a really good team with a strong culture, Duck, turn him around? So if he went to Hawthorn or he went to Richmond or one of these top sides, could they turn his attitude around?
Well, we're talking about his attitude. I don't think his attitude has always been a concern. I just think that he obviously had that report earlier this year with the left or right hook, whatever yeah. it was. So he missed games there. And then I think since then he's come back and he seemed to have had his little ups and downs this year. But
he does look disillusioned, though.
Yeah, but he's
frustrated.
There's no question that he can be turned around and have a fantastic year, whether it be for the Blues or another team. And you're right, it is. It's all about attitude.
And Richmond's a club who have been linked to him this week, Yaron. I mean, they've got a spot there for a small forward with a bit of speed. You add Yaron Baz into that Richmond yeah. forward line, you know, nipping around the heels of Riewoldt and Vickery. And that looks pretty exciting, doesn't it?
I think that's the point. I reckon Brian touched on it. Is he the type of player that is going to excel in that type of side at the moment? Carlton are struggling, or is he the type of player that is going to excel in a more talented team? And I think, for me, I think the latter.
Well, you state the obvious. We all do. We state the obvious yeah. when we say you put a good player in a better team, they're going to be a better player.
By the way, Johnny Barker, has he done himself any harm by putting himself as the coach of Carlton? He's now lost more games this year than Mick lost before he got the flick. And I say that on the basis, I wonder whether Carlton would have been wiser to appoint someone like Rob Wiley or Dean Laidley, who don't want the job, and therefore Johnny Barker get looked at in a different light, rather than have these, you know, because we're not home yet. 138 points the other week, big thrashing again last night. You know, where he's had, I think it was 60 points against Sydney he lost to. So
because they might have thought that he was a genuine chance for the job, BT, and what better way to say, okay, here, have a crack at it.
Mm.
And I still don't think he's completely out of the picture. It was only a couple of weeks ago that we were saying that he was a red-hot favourite to get the position. Clearly, you know, they were smashed by a better team. But, yeah, that up-and-down performance last night wasn't great. But he's still got another 6 weeks that dictates how they come out and how they perform.
And the next four games for Carlton, Collingwood, Brisbane, Melbourne, GWS.
So there's some winnable games in there.
Yeah, they could. Yeah. Could win a couple there, that is for sure.
It sounds like it's down to him and Bolton. That's what we're hearing behind the scenes in the conversations with footy people throughout the week. It's him or Bolton. Lloyd and Jude, not so sure, but maybe Bolton versus Barker is the race for the coaching
job. When are we
job.
Expecting an answer on that, do you reckon?
Stephen Triggs said they'll know more possibly in 3 to 4 weeks.
Right.
Yeah.
There's some interesting vision last night at the game last night with Stephen Triggs whispering into the ear of Mark Legutis, the president of Carlton as well. It was at a time when things weren't travelling well, and I sometimes the camera can catch the moment.
Yep.
And I reckon, I don't know, I reckon that was a moment.
The body language, it didn't look good.
Yeah.
If you were Johnny Barker and you saw that in the camera, you're not feeling too positive.
Yeah. It didn't look all that good as well. What else took your fancy in that game last night, boys? Anything else stand out? Baz, you were here calling the game. Well done too, one out, until Brandog helped you out.
He did in the last quarter, yeah. Brownie. He was fantastic. Jumped out of the blocks and he was just showed a bit of form, Brian. And reasonably happy with himself.
Jared Waite, 200th game last night. Played okay against his old mob for the first time.
Yeah, copped a bit from the crowd when he went near it early, as he expected. We had Jamie McMillan in here in the second term, and he said he actually built himself for that during the week. And he said, I want the booze. That'll get me up. And it's certainly... Look, the Kangaroos are an interesting side, aren't they? They're a side that you start a season, Duck, and you think... This is going to be their year. This is when they're going to challenge. When we're talking top four, all of a sudden they're again fighting for another spot in the eight. There's distractions during the year. There was Boomer's 400 sort of went from one thing to another. And last night they come out and blow the Blues away by 64 points.
To guarantee themselves a spot in the eight, they've got five games left. They've got 10 wins. They must win three of the five. This is who they play. Melbourne, St Kilda, win-win. And then they've got to find one win out of Fremantle, Richmond and the Western Bulldogs. All teams that are playing well.
Yeah, and look, they're beating teams that they should beat. And in previous years, they've probably let one of those slip. So they're doing what they have to do. They've had their lapses within those games. But I agree, BT, they'll win the next two. And then the real test comes in that last few weeks.
What about Brad Scott? So he's been out for a month with that back injury. He comes back. His contract ends at the end of next year. How do you think the club should play that? Early next year, do you think they should go out and extend him, or the pressure will come, or will they let the first half of the season go? How will the club handle the Brad Scott contract situation?
I've said this a lot this year, and BT, you've tended to agree with me. I hope you do again, and that is that you should never be re-signing these coaches. So let's say, for instance, the Kangaroos get into the finals and they have a really good final series and they make another preliminary final. Don't go and extend Brad Scott's contract.
No need to.
There's no need to. No. He's got another year to run. So let that get to a point. And if then next year the Kangaroos are doing what, you know, we expect them to do, and that is probably improve a little bit again next year if they get a little bit of outside run or Wells comes back. I mean, there are a few things that the Kangaroos need, and I think it is outside run. Mm. And if they get that, then and some genuine speed, Boomer Harvey probably, you know, whether he plays on one more year. Dal Sano's missed a chunk of the year. Wells hasn't been there. So they get that.
Are they going past their window, though? And I'll say that because of this. Ferrito, 280-odd games. Drew Petrie will play 290 by the end of the year. Boomer Harvey. And there's one other that's quite old
Blake
as well.
Dal Sano.
So there's four players in there that really haven't got another 2 years to wait for a premiership.
No, they haven't got...
They need them involved in the premiership.
They do. Ferrito's probably one. McDonald's missed a little bit of footy this year. You'd expect him to, you know, be a regular next year. So Ferrito, I think, is certainly cover. You know, you're able to cover him. But there are aspects of that age, of those players that you talk about, BT. Mm. And I think Petrie's the big one because I think Black's going to leave. Waite's the other one that is a little bit older and obviously coming towards the end. So they've got some big decisions to make. You're right. At the end of this year,
will the pressure build on the Roos early next year? Will they be the club that we're all sort of like? It was Carlton this year.
For me, the pressures are on them right now.
Mm. Yeah,
because they're in the position last year where this year should have been a winner. They thought they were in such a good position that they went out and topped up on a couple of players, which is what all good clubs do.
Yeah.
On the eve of when they think the window is wide open, they go and spend a little bit of money. They allow that in their TPP. For that particular year to go bang, and they thought it was going to be this year.
I'll tell you what Brad has done after his back surgery. He's come back a lot harder, and he's given it to him between the eyes. There's been a real difference in how he's gone about things. So I think now, and because he's obviously had time to sit back and sort of analyse where he's at, where the club's at, and where certain players are at, he's going to make some tough decisions at the end of this year.
Lindsay Thomas last night was a classic one. So he comes back into the side. Was it his second game back, Jay, or his first game back?
Second. He's been sub.
And he just didn't want to kick the goal.
Yeah.
Every time he got the football, he wanted to give it to someone else to try and show that he was being the team man. So that's obviously an area they've pinpointed with him as, hey, you've got to be a team man, mate. But it was almost to the detriment of the team last night.
So where they are right now, and we talk about the next two games should be wins, and then we talked about the next three and said, oh, well, they've got to win one of the three. But where the group is now, Doug, should they be winning one of the three, two of the three? It's Fremantle, it's Richmond, it's Western Bulldogs. Where are the group right
well,
now?
Well, they should be beating all of those, with the exception of, you know, maybe Fremantle. But if that's here in Melbourne, then they should
all
be going...
All here.
Yeah, okay, they should be going into those games as favourites. That's where we thought they were last year. Preliminary finals last year against Sydney. So the simple facts are they lost games earlier in the year that we expected them to win.
And Goldstein at the moment, when's the last ruckman we've seen being as dominant as him at the moment? I mean, him versus Nat Nui, if you had a choice in terms of ruckman, who would you want?
Well, he gets more of the ball and takes more marks. Nat Nui is just a purist in terms of hitting it to advantage. And his follow-up work is, he's like another on-baller.
I'd take Goldstein. Probably right at the moment.
As a ruckman, I would too.
He's had an amazing year.
Yeah, he is. He's been a very super impressive, actually. Super impressive. Friday night, guys, let's cast our minds back to that, and you can really talk this game up because an absolute cracker. Richmond and Hawthorn on Friday night. Richmond doing so well, and when they really weren't expected to probably get the 4 points, they went ahead and got it and done well and impressed the whole football community, didn't they?
Well, we wonder now, are they a serious premiership contender? They've rolled Hawthorn 3 out of their last 4 games. And you watch the way they play. They were so clinical. You know, they stretched that Hawthorn zone. They come round the boundary line. They were controlled with the footy. They didn't blaze away. And when you kick it forward to a guy like Brett Deledio, who's just an absolute star of the game, and Jack Riewoldt, it just seems like their game plan after that early hiccup in the season is just working absolutely beautifully now. They've got so much confidence and aggression. You know, Trent Cotchin at the start of the game going straight up to Hodgie, barreling him in the chest. I think Ivan Mark did the same to Jared Ruffhead. So all the heartache of last weekend, the loss to Fremantle, they go up to the two champions of the Hawthorn Football Club and say, boys, we're ready to play here.
Yeah, there's a strut about the Tigers at the moment, and you're right, they used the ball so well. They didn't give Hawthorn the footy, really, in that first term. And more importantly, they kick goals and put scoreboard pressure. You have to continually do that against the Hawks. You know the Hawks are going to come, but it was a comprehensive win, and people keep talking that, okay, if you take the ball off the Hawks, don't allow them uncontested marks, that's how you beat the Hawks. Well, clearly, but they also beat them in contested possessions. They did it all, BT. They beat them in all facets of the game on Friday night. And are they a premiership chance? Well, they've beaten all of the top teams. So you'd have to say that on a given day, they're capable of winning a premiership. There's no doubt about that now. And you don't say that lightly, but they're the simple facts. There's not another team in the eight that have done that. The Tigers have.
Hawks rarely look frustrated. They looked a little bit frustrated at times on Friday night. They pride themselves in holding it in the forward half duck and then dropping that few behind the zone there to just bomb it straight back in. Tigers were so patient, and their disposal efficiency on the back of what you said, Jay, that's really lifted over the last 6-7 weeks. So they're finding their targets cleanly, and just they are so patient to get it out. And there were moments on Friday night when the Hawks players were throwing the arms up in the air and looking at each other and pointing at each other. It was really frustrating, the super side of the competition.
They hunted in packs. When they made an error, within a blink of an eye, there were two or three Tigers to, three Tigers to one or two Hawks. They just outnumbered them at the contest all the time. There was a desperation about them. They were hungrier than what Hawthorn were on Friday night.
I still think that, we're getting a bit down on the Hawks. Mm. They're in almost an identical position to where they were last year. I think they'll go on and win their last 5 games of the year, including this weekend or next weekend against West Coast over in Perth. And that'll give them 17 wins, the precise amount that they had last year when they won the premiership. So I wouldn't be getting too down on the Hawks. I still think, come finals time, completely different game. It's important, Duck, from about this time onwards, about round 19-20, to have your best team playing in the positions you want and get some continuity and have very few changes in the team, isn't it?
Without question, you want to get that continuity. You want players that have had little niggles to be right and ready to go. But I agree. Hawthorn are still clearly the best side in the competition. But when people were saying before Friday night, oh, they're going to win 17 in a row now, no one will get near them because of their last 3 weeks, I kept saying, that's ludicrous. Everyone picked Sydney in the grand final last year, and the Hawks. What we do know about the Hawks, if they bring their A game, those statements are correct. They just win. Yep. They bring their pressure and everything else that they're good at.
Those last two games aren't going to work out well for them leading into the finals, Brisbane and Carlton. But the Tigers, I'm really intrigued about them. They are just playing inspired football. The whole footy community is falling in love with them. Remember a few years ago, the Bulldogs team was everyone's second team? Yeah. At the moment, it's the Tigers.
Can I just say the thing about the Tigers, and this is the great strength of Hawthorn, is their non-reliance on any one player. If you looked at Richmond the other night, okay, Deledio kicked 4 goals, but you wouldn't say he was the absolute best on ground. Miles was fantastic. Rance was great. You could throw a blanket over the whole team. And I remember looking at their bottom four, BT, their bottom probably six players, and you thought, no, that's just why Hawthorn are better, because they're...
Right.
Whereas the other night, boy, they got a contribution from every player. It was team, and everyone contributed.
What about the lack of final success? So they roll up into September where they finish a fourth or in the eight. Is there still a question mark over them because they haven't had, you know, the finals wins that you need to build over a period of time? You know, the last finals win was 2001. So the Richmond fans...
I reckon I can answer that. I was at a team with Collingwood in 1990 that had the same historical thing hanging over there. And I remember a pertinent time when the players had a meeting on the third floor of the social club, and they all came together. And I think...
A couple of beers.
No beers. The guy that climbed Everest, the first guy, what was his name? Hillary's son, Peter Hillary, spoke at this particular night. And then they stayed back after and they spoke about, you know, that all the history that had been created before them wasn't of their doing. It wasn't them that lost those finals. They didn't have anything to do with the Collingwood issues in finals at that particular time. And they wanted to create and make their own history. And that became a motivating factor for that group of guys rather than something you're describing as something that they would look negatively upon.
No, yeah, I agree with you, BT. I think the last 2 years, let's not forget, they had to win nine straight to get into the finals last year. Yeah. Okay, yes, that's good form, but, you know, I guess they weren't like an overly consistent team. And I don't think they really believed Sydney left players out of that last home and away game. You know, there are a lot of different reasons. Adelaide lost games for them even to get into the eight. So I think they truly believe now. And I think it comes from their captain, Trent Cotchin, and the way, what you described before, BT, he's got a niggle about him now that he's never had before.
Yes,
he has.
A niggle.
Yeah.
Little, you know, just those little knocks. They're not silly. They're not Josh Gibson silly where you know, get a fine.
Yeah.
But there's enough in them just to say, I'm here. I'm loving the way Trent Cotchin's leading the team.
Mm. Jump on the Tiger train. That's,
Peter, you played for two clubs, Collingwood, Richmond. We sort of think of you more as a Collingwood man, possibly.
I've got a son that barracks for Richmond as well, and while I won't put the Richmond jumper firmly on, I'll be very supportive of my son who wants his Tigers to win. So that's the way I look at it.
Well, and plus the fact the Pies have lost the last six in a row.
Yeah.
Cool. That helps a little bit, doesn't it?
It does. Absolutely, it does. There's no question.
Do you think that the Hawthorn loss, it plays into Alistair Clarkson's hands a bit? I mean, I was in the Hawthorn rooms on Friday night. Sam Mitchell walked past me looking like he wanted to punch about five different blokes. He looked that angry. He was just, the scowl was in his, he was just so angry. And I just wondered now with this loss, a month and a half out of finals,
That's why they're a great team because it does hurt them.
They don't want to lose. They don't want to lose any game.
Imagine being in this position at this time of the year, knowing that there's three in a row on offer if you can get it together and just sharpen up a couple of little aspects of your game. I reckon that's got to be motivating them big time to go out and win three
absolutely.
In a row. Who was the last side to win three in a row?
Brisbane. Early 2000s.
Would be amazing.
More of a wake-up call for us, I think. I mean, he's been spouting about it for weeks, Alistair Clarkson, saying, no, we're not that far. The gap's not that wide. We've got a lot of hard work to do. So it's a little bit what you said. Played into his hands a little bit. And, let's regroup again and go again from here.
Well, Clarko had a go at our man after that Friday night,
Duck.
He sort of, I was in that press conference and it was all tracking along nicely, and he made it pretty personal about you pretty quickly, Duck, and I'm just wondering what it is you said throughout the broadcast, you know, about the concussion sub and, you know, what your reaction was to it.
Steve-O...
Let's have a listen to what he said first of all.
You really think we'd do that? You got a doctor down on the bench who makes a concussion call and the coach doesn't have anything to do with it. Get that clear. Not me, not 17 other coaches either. We never, never overrule the doctor in terms of anything to do with that. So where was it? Duck, was it?
No, it was speculation through the night.
Yeah. Carey?
No, it wasn't Wayne.
Another great call by Carey. Silly, mate. We should open the file on Wayne Carey.
I think the file's already open on Wayne Carey. It's been out there with greatest respect, Alistair.
I think, yes, exactly right. The file has been open many times. But look, clearly Clarko was very defensive and had been told that I had said something at half time. What I did say at half time was, and Steve-O was the one that brought it up, so Steve-O's the one that highlighted
his own good work.
That Frawley had come off. And then and then basically said, no, it wasn't Duck, but it wasn't me either. He
didn't. But hang on, let's get to the crux of it. The reason you said what you said was because you didn't... Normally a player in that situation would go down into a darkened room,
Frawley,
get assessed, Frawley. Well, he didn't leave the bench.
Well, that's what we'd seen. Well, that's what we'd seen all year. And we obviously were watching him. And when Steve-O asked me the question at halftime, I said, look, he didn't, to me, look like he'd had a concussion test. Obviously, clearly, Clarko. You take Clarko for his word, and he did. But generally, they go down into the underneath and have the test and then come back out, and he's well and good. And by the way, what I said in comparison to what just about every other media outlet, including our very own here at Triple M, were saying at the same time, certainly highlighted it way, way more than what I did. But Clarko,
put a full stop on it. Do you think it was a possibility that it happened for the wrong reasons, or do you think now, looking on it, it was a genuine concussion?
We have to sit here and observe things that go on in the game and then make comment on them. So our observation on the night was it wasn't what we'd seen prior, but you've got to take him and his doctor for their word, and that is that, no, he'd been assessed on the bench, and that was the scenario.
It's commonly overlooked. The roles in the media, I reckon, when you mention that, Baz, and I speak of, like, we'll see a game here today, and we don't get told any of the facts about the game. The coaches tell us nothing, the players tell us nothing, so we are up here as media people guessing and hoping we get it right.
Yep.
The same with concussion and injuries. We have to guess because no one wants to tell us whether he's injured or not. No one wants to give the media anything. So how do they expect us to be absolutely 100% right all the time when we don't have the information that they have to make that call?
Yep.
We have to look at it and make a judgment like you have.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And did it bruise you at all, Duck? Did you take offence to what he said? Or?
Well, if Clarko's a smart man, and we know that he can be hot-headed at times, it'd be fair to say.
Although he has cooled somewhat in the last year or two.
And I certainly don't. And because those files have been opened, some of those files are a little bit bigger than Clarko having a crack at me.
Let's talk to Lee Adams now. And Jay-Z, you have led this story for a good 2 years now, and you kept us informed with exactly what's been happening with Lee. He joins us on the line now after his retirement yesterday. Lee, appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us.
No worries, boys. Thanks for having me.
What brought it to a head, Lee? Why did you make this decision at this time?
I wish I got to make the decision on my own, that's for sure. But I've obviously been in contact with some neuros over the last few months with two concussions happening this year. And it got to the stage where the neurologist thought that I was going in a bit of a trend where I was getting minimal knocks to the head, which were causing concussion symptoms. And their thought was that if I was to continue keep taking knocks, that there could be some sort of long-term effects down the track.
Lee, it's Jay Clark here, mate. So that included memory loss, dementia. I mean, these are serious issues. You've got a family life and a future. Did that weigh on your mind?
Yeah, it did, I think. Obviously, I've talked to the specialists at the moment, and they seem to think that if I'm to pull the pin now and walk away from footy, that I shouldn't have any of those long-term effects. And, with a wife and, it makes the decision a lot easier to walk away. And, footy's only a very small part of your life when you've got to make decisions like that.
Hey, Lee, have you had any of the current tests that would suggest there's any type of, loss in any way from taking those knocks right now?
No, that's probably the good thing to come out of all this, that every test I've done over the last probably 12 months has all come back clear. And it's more of as I said before, it's more of if I'm to cop more knocks, then that's when they're starting to get unsure of what could happen down the track. So
are they categoric about that, Lee? Are they categoric that if you have more knocks, this will be the case in 15 years' time? Or is that something that they predict could happen?
Yeah, it's a funny thing, the brain. They're still not, 100% sure of what could happen. I could play another 10 years, another 10 knocks and be completely fine, but I may take one more knock and, 15 years down the track, who knows? So, it's one of those funny things that because of the trend that it looks like I'm going down, it looked like it could be more of a possibility if I am to keep playing on.
Lee, can we go back a little bit to your last head knock? It was in a VFL game against Collingwood. You copped the clip in the back of the head from your old teammate, Levi Greenwood. Thanks very much for that, Levi. Can you tell us what happened in that next minute? So you've had five concussions over the past, well, that was the fifth concussion in the past year, but you can tell us what happened over the next minute of that that last knock.
Yeah, I copped a little clip in the back of the head and went to ground and sort of face first into the ground and managed to get back up to my feet and couldn't see out of the peripherals of my eyes and actually thought I'd got a bit of mud in my eye because obviously landed face first in the mud. But yeah, once I got up and got moving again, I realised that I didn't have any mud in my eyes. It was just a bit blurry in both my eyes and thought I'd be okay and sort of got to the next stoppage and from there just started to really struggle with my bearings of where I actually was and just started feeling getting some headaches and feeling really nauseous and just was shocking from there, so I managed to get myself off and from there just was pretty shocking for a couple of days after that.
Lee, Baz Denner, mate, just listening to your talk, you can sense your frustration. How tough was it to accept the information and to finally make the decision yourself? Did you bucket the horse a bit?
I think I was. I did it first. I obviously had one around March as well. I had a concussion then, which knocked me around a bit, and I probably took about 8 to 10 weeks to come back from that one. And I got similar advice from the neuro, back then that I was starting to creep into a bit of bad territory, and I decided that I wanted to have one more crack at it, and managed to get out there for I think 3 more VFL games. And I think by the time I took this last knock, I nearly conceded that the time was up, and the frustration sort of went out the window, and I knew that was it was a bit bigger of a decision than just football.
So Lee, do you walk away from the game and go, well, that was just what the game served me? Or is there possibility of any legal avenues or challenges down the track, or is that something you're not even entertaining?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I wouldn't have thought so. I couldn't have asked for North Melbourne as a club for them to have done any more for me over the time. It's just they gave me every chance to get back if I wanted to and gave me every medical advice, second, third opinions, and nothing was too hard for them. So, excuse me, unfortunately, it's just part of the game that, you know, head injuries are going to occur, and the style of football I play, I'm probably going to be more prone to them than other people. So I'm thankful that I can walk away from the game with, you know, hopefully no long-term effects, and just move on to the next chapter of my life.
You played 104 games, Lee, finished top five in the best and fairest twice, probably an underrated link in that midfield for quite a while. If we can just broaden the conversation just for a sec about Brad Scott, and we were talking about him earlier, if we can just go outside your own situation, have you sensed that the coach has been harder on the North Melbourne playing group since coming back from his own back injury? I know you've had a lot on your plate, but have you sensed that?
I think, look, to be honest, I haven't been around the club a lot with my own situation, but from looking in from the outside, it looks like he's obviously made a bit more of a statement at the selection table and stuff like that. And I think it's maybe from him watching at home, he might have picked up on a couple of things that maybe, I don't know, he might have overlooked. You're sitting in the heat of the battle and in the coach's box, and he's obviously acted on a few of those things. But it does look like they've got a bit of a hard edge about him since he's come back, that's for sure.
What sort of job are you going to jump into, Lee? What's next?
Yeah, not too sure at the moment, to be honest with you. I'm actually down at Preston City Oval at the moment with the Northern Knights boys, just helping them out at the moment. So I do enjoy the coaching side of things. And Brad said there's a role for me for the rest of the year if I'm keen to do that. So that's something I might dip the toe into for the rest of the year and see if I enjoy that and see where that takes me. And yeah, go from there, I suppose.
Well, good luck. Appreciate your time today, and we're sorry that it had to finish this way for you.
Nah, beautiful. Thanks a lot for the time, boys.
Lee Adams joining us from the North Melbourne Football Club. That's been horrendous, hasn't it, really?
Yeah, and I think he's done everything to try and get back. You know, he went through some mental battles, as he said, after the fourth knock earlier in the pre-season. Had some dark times, but he's kept ploughing away, and I think he's got the enormous respect of his teammates and his peers at the North Melbourne Football Club. He's one of the most popular guys at the Kangaroos, and you sort of take your hat off to him, I reckon.
Yeah.
I mentioned before Jakey King had joined us. We said hello to him. Jake, we just finished when you arrived discussing the Tigers and how they've lit the whole state of Victoria up and the whole competition up because, you know, everyone loves to see the Tiger train up and about. What do you make of them at the moment? Why are they playing well?
Why? It's a funny one. The Richmond Footy Clubs had belief. In the 8 years that I was there, I know it started off pretty poorly. But then as it come to the back half, the belief in that club hadn't changed. I think what happens is the players actually start using the ball a little bit better. The confidence has actually lifted. The game style and the game plan, they've been practicing it for the last 3 to 4 years. And I believe that when Damien first got there, he stuck at it. When most clubs, when things don't go right, they will change it and alter it. Within 12 months, it's done and ask about you turn, and you've got no idea where you originally started. Where Damien stuck at it right from the word go, and they've been building on this for the last 4 or 5 years. And I just think it's all starting to come together. And what happens is when you believe in it so much, the rewards actually start to show, the confidence comes, and the 4 points is the main goal.
And, Jay-Z, I reckon Brendan Gale is to be commended too because he's the reason for that stability in the football club staff, isn't he? He's refused, as Jake said, to make changes under pressure and stick with the regime they've got, knowing that it'll ultimately get them through.
Well, you remember that loss to North Melbourne? I think was it about round 6? It put them 2-4. The Wolves came at the door. There was talk about Hardwick's coaching, whether he was under pressure, and Brendan Gale came out and just rubbished it. And it added to that stability, as you said. He's kept that good team around him, and his coaching plan against Hawthorn, Jakey, on Friday night was just magnificent, as you said. But Duck also brought up Trent Cotchin's leadership, and he's a guy I'm really interested in because you must have seen him really grow in his in the captaincy role over the past 12 months.
Yeah, spot on. At Richmond, Dimoway said, got to introduce good people into the club. And when Trent got given the captaincy, there was a question mark over whether or not he was going to be able to do it. He was young, hadn't had the experience. Chris Newman was by far the leader at that club at that given time. But, yeah, the way Trent's come on in leaps and bounds, and the first time on the weekend watching him play, being physical before the ball had even bounced, that reminded me of Joel Selwood when Geelong were going really well. So that's that winning mentality and going in there, just fighting the fight, and he's leading the way.
Do you think he had that sort of aggression in him, that physicality? Because he was always, not introverted, but he never had that edge that he's sort of displaying now.
He's married into a very aggressive family. Rick Kennedy, one of the great fullbacks of all time. He's married, hasn't he?
Yes,
married the daughter of Rick Kennedy.
Yes, Brooke.
Who, he was a savage man. Rick, he was a belt-him-around-the-ears type fullback.
Mm. Yeah, well, when he started, I didn't think that he had it in him. Not one bit. The club drove it. He was well coached internally by Wayne Campbell when he was at the club. Damien's obviously worked with him a hell of a lot and really led that or drove that leadership skills and the quality that he's now driven. And I think the most important part for Trent is when he got given the captaincy at the start, it was more of a, oh, thank you, really appreciate it. Mm. Now I believe it means more to him than what you can possibly imagine, and he cares more now, and it's really showing in his football and around the club.
Indeed it is. All right, time now, boys, and Jakey can join us here and fire questions as he sees fit to the Great Duck with a segment that we call the...
This is Wayne Carey's Duck Shoot.
Where we fire questions at Duck and he fires answers, and we try and not have elongated answers, Wayne. They try to be snappy. Has Hawthorn made a serious blue by losing to Richmond, potential trips to Perth for finals, etc.?
No. They're still the best team in it. And just another wake-up call, BT.
By the way, did Steve-O apologise for throwing you under the bus with Clarko the other day?
No, he hasn't yet.
He hasn't rung you?
I don't need an apology, BT.
You've had a few in your day?
I've given a few.
Yeah, how many do you reckon you have given over this one?
I'll have to open up my file and have a look.
Hey, who's coach of the year to this point, Duck?
Oh, good question, actually. You'd have to say Adam Simpson. Mm. I think Adam Simpson, what he's done with the Eagles, the defence, the players that have gone out injured, and then for them to be sitting where they're sitting, clearly Simpson.
Johnny Barker, Duck, he went hard on the Blues players after last night's loss. Will he be coaching Carlton in 2016?
I honestly don't want to give an answer to that because I think we have to wait and see in the next 6 weeks, how they go about it. Because right now he's I think it's 50-50, and it really it's going to be determined by, like I said, their competitiveness.
Duck, we all know you bought the wrong farm, and you've since decided to go ahead and build infrastructure on it. There's a shed there. A little sneaky photo has been sent to me of a building within the shed.
Yes.
A shed within the shed. It's like a frame, a wooden frame, and setting up for a shower. Are you building something within the shed illegally against council rules?
You're a shocker. He would not be. Don't start that sort of stuff. Surely.
Is that shower connected to a septic? Is it just going out into the environment?
Are you allowed to. Aren't you allowed to do that within your own shed?
No.
Okay. Well, I'll have to.
It's a shed for shed purposes. I'll so have to as long as you're not living there.
No. Well, that's right.
If you get bathed in acid and you need a shower to wash it off, you can have the shower.
That's exactly why we're putting it there, BT.
Here's something for if it's non-contaminated water and can be used as recycled water, you can run that into your garden, providing there's no soap involved that will kill the environment.
That's commonly known as grey water.
Okay. Yeah. No worries.
But
thanks
as
for
you
that.
Say, it can't be contaminated because Jakey's all over it. He's part of the RSPCA. No, it's not the RSPCA.
I'm just a plumber, BT. Who is it? So.
Duck, any chance?
EPA, sorry. Keep firing questions, Baz.
Get a Christmas card from Al Clarkson, you think, at the end of the year?
Oh, I wouldn't have thought so. I don't think there's as much in any of it, and not really going to waste too much more time on it.
Duck, I want to ask you about Jobe Watson now. He's been spotted at the cricket over in England. What advice could you give Jobe, who's obviously trying to escape the media glare at the moment?
He's over in England. What's he trying to... He's not on the run, is he?
Not
he's
to
just,
interviews.
He's just going over for a just a lovely little holiday.
Well, he's getting out of the kitchen. It's been pretty hot for him.
No, good. Yeah. There's no kitchen. You know what it is? It's giving his mind a rest. I think good on Jobe. The fact that had his shoulder cleaned up, good on him. He'll come back refreshed. He'll be the captain of the Essendon Footy Club next year, and he'll be back playing great footy.
Jesse White finally got dropped. Darcy Moore comes in, plays one good one, plays one bad one. Do you just stick with him for the rest of the year and sit Jesse out?
I stick with Darcy for the rest of the year, definitely. He's a star, and he's going to have inconsistencies. He's played four games. I think he's a future star in the making. Jesse White, it's all on form for me. If he plays well in the twos, he gets in the ones. If he plays well in the ones, he stays in the ones.
I'm surprised to see you here today, Duck, because last time you went down to Tassie, of course you went to Tassie last night, last time you went there, you had a sore knee and couldn't get back, and you couldn't do Sunday footy.
Well,
I'm surprised to see you here.
The knee was done about 3 days prior to that travel.
Hey, by the way...
And in hindsight, probably took too much on, BT.
When you walk down the street, say you might go for a little trot down Clarendon Street, do you sort of... get a bit of wobble, a sort of bit of sideways chest movement and go, I'm the duck walking down here.
Well,
are you saying that to yourself? Or and people are looking at you going, he's making... And do you sort of continue on? How do you do it?
Just depends on the day and who's looking.
Hey, Duck, Johnny Giles is playing.
It's hard, Baz, being Wayne Carey. Don't you reckon, Jakey?
Be a full-time
Jakey, what do you think it'd be like being Wayne Carey?
Oh, I couldn't deal with the spotlight from all the women just staring at me all the time. So, and then I don't think my guns are big enough to walk around winter with a T-shirt on like he does down Clarendon Street. So,
who's got a T-shirt on right now?
Heater's on in here, mate. The heater's on.
I got a puffer vest on.
Duck, how many push-ups are you going to have to do to be able to beat Jake King in the push-up contest?
Well, I've had a little bit of a look, and I know Jakey's record's just over 300, but I believe a couple of those might have gone just a little short, so I would dare say that it might be under the 300 mark. So but I suspect.
Just so you know, Jake,
questioning the great man's integrity about the push-ups.
No, I'm questioning that they mightn't have been full push-ups. Yeah. So he knows that I've questioned that.
He thinks you've been doing the Gold's Gym sort of.
So I'm
squeaky little.
I'm
one.
Expecting to have to do at least the high 150 to 180, because if he does them properly, I'm thinking he's going to come down a fair bit.
Yeah.
And that's with BT sitting on my back.
I weighed in on the other day, too. It wasn't good. Time now for Tell Me Something I Don't Know. This is a segment where we tell the listeners out there something that they haven't already heard about. I've got one for you.
Mm-hmm.
This is brewing. It's still it's an ongoing Tell Me Something I Don't Know.
Well,
Baz. I'm hearing that the North Melbourne Cheer Squad are upset at management. because we noticed before the games they have the floating curtains yes. instead of the banner. So they've effectively been removed from the ground from holding the banner because they've got a curtain that floats up there now yep. with air and doesn't need as many knuff-knuffs to get out oh. there. just joking. But and that they're really unhappy about this. And this was a club decision
yes.
to have the air station there holding up the curtains. And they've been banished to just doing away game banners now and they're not happy about it all. And I believe it's coming to a head at North Melbourne, and it was management behind this idea in the removal of cheer squad people from holding the banner, which has been a long-held tradition and one that should be respected.
Fan engagement.
Well done.
Ryan, that's what it comes under. That's what we're all about this year.
That's right.
Get them back out there.
Who's next?
Hey, Rodney Ead, when he was at Collingwood, had a good job, didn't he? You know, just sort of supported Bucks, a nice paycheck.
Ripping
not,
job.
Not high stress. Now he's under the Bunsen burner there up at Gold Coast. But we can tell you that as part of his sort of remuneration package at Collingwood, that he also got two around-the-world flights with Emirates up the front of the plane. Mm-hmm. So not only the nice little in the sky rocket, but the end of the year, just a free trip around the globe for two, thanks to Collingwood sponsor Emirates.
That probably would have been part of his, it was part of his package, but might have been part of his learning package. In other words, go over to Europe and follow Real Madrid and go and check out their facility.
Or hang out in the Bahamas for a couple of days. Whatever you want to do, Rocket.
Thinking more along the tax deduction line rather than dodge line.
I think it sounds like not a bad little gig.
Jakey King's got one for us. Well done.
Now, I'll apologise now because I can't give the names.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
I will apologise for it.
Sounds good. I like things with names.
But, Jay-Z, this is something for you to follow up. I know for a fact that Fremantle have actually approached two key forwards who are coming out of contract at the end of the year to try and get them over to the club because I've been told it's what they're lacking and
being on the way out.
Yep, and it's what they really need. So they've approached two people thus far.
Well, let's have a crack at them.
Henderson.
I was thinking more Dixon. Charlie Dixon, Gold Coast.
Yeah. Carlisle.
And Jakey Carlisle. Mm. Yeah, that'd be the two.
I reckon Carlisle will be the one. He definitely won't be at Bomberland. So he's back in here today, but straight back in. How long has he been out?
6 weeks.
So just so you know, Jakey, we normally don't go with footy club move rumours as part of tell you something I don't know because it's too easy to make them up.
Yep. I can guarantee you I haven't made this one up, VT.
All right.
Hence the reason why I can't give the name because I'll get shot.
Give us an initial.
What's that? I've got to go downstairs?
Yeah.
Sweet.
All right, Baz, what do you got?
Yeah, well, you know mine, Brian. They come from the back streets and alleyways around town, sort of two-bit sleazy dive style. But I'm hearing that and I know there's been a little bit of talk about it over a period of time, but the bounce, the commissioner's having a very, very close look at it now. And it's certainly partly what's happening at this level of football, but it's also largely at the lower levels of football, the time, the training, and the resource needed to get part of our game right is starting to wear thin, and my information is that the bounce is on the way out.
And I wouldn't be surprised either that would be right, Baz, because I look at umpires out there, and probably only two out of the three can do it really consistently anyway.
Who's the best?
And they don't do it at junior level.
You're a close umpire.
Who's the best?
Oh,
well, what was his name? Matty Nichols, is it? Matty Nichols, I think it is. I think he's the best. It was the Disco King before that. Another Matty, I forget his name now. He used to go to all the nightclubs. He was the nightclub umpire.
Do you hang out with the umpires throughout the week?
But Brett Roseberry and Matt Stevic now are very good. Brett Roseberry's sensational. Geordie Bannister, who's on here today, is he's good, but he doesn't go high. He's got a lot of oomph in it. By the way, Carrazzo was down at an umpire's meeting during the week. And sat in on the umpires' meetings just to get a feel of what they do.
Didn't I break that in Tell Us Something You Don't Know
yes,
About
you did.
10 weeks ago?
You
BT?
Said he's going to be an umpire next year, but I'm updating him. Already, he's already learning and he's already down there. And what you didn't add to that story was that, plus he'll be doing a minor league next year, the VFL the year after, and the AFL the year after.
Right, so it's a long apprenticeship.
It's a three-year apprenticeship to get a crack at this level here today.
Which is great because, as Geordie Bannister told us, you know, they have a lot of respect, don't they, the players, when they go to umpiring. And, they got a good feel for the game. So I think we embrace that. But that's interesting what you say about the bounce, Baz. How will that affect ruck work? Do we like that? Will it be a you know, a higher throw or
I think
lower
it could
throw?
Be good. I think the higher throw is good. I think we saw a couple from Brett Rosebery last night at this venue, and all of a sudden, third man up is non-existent. Ruckman have got to compete on their merits, and it looks like it could help.
The skills of the bounce are diminishing because it's not around the ground anymore. It's only in the centre circle. So you look back at the old division, the umpires are bouncing all the time. There was a lot more consistency. Mm. That's not happening now. We had a number again, too high.
Do you
want to
see it go, though?
Just
quick, do you want to see it go?
No, look, I'm a traditionalist duck, and I'd love to see it stay.
But stay for the centre.
It's either staying everywhere or it's not staying at all.
What about just the first bounce of each quarter, then?
The problem be, Brian, I think that the fact that we're not doing it everywhere, that they get that one crack at having a bounce, so the consistency for them's not there. Mm. I think you're going to find grand finals if that happens.
I think the commission...
Opening bounce of grand final goes sideways, recall it, just an ugly look.
Commission are worried about all the recalled bounces, I think. There are quite a few per game, aren't there?
Yeah, I like it, though. I like the traditional part of it, a bit like you, maybe the start of each quarter or the start of a game, or it'd be nice to be still incorporated somehow.
Yep, but certainly we want the umpires to be good at decision-making, probably before bouncing. And I think if we have to have that and not the other, I'm happy for the decision-making.
Okay, I'm hearing, BT, that, and a bit like Jakey, I can't say who I'm hearing because it's an AFL thing. But we had Ed Sheeran last year. We've had Meatloaf. We had
like
Dancing
this.
On the Ceiling.
Oh,
we've
yeah,
had,
like it.
But this year will be the biggest...
biggest budget.
The biggest budget means act. The biggest act that we've
ever had.
Ever had. We do know, and I think it was made public, that they did approach people like Kylie Minogue and others last year that they weren't able to get across the line, but it'll topple all of the ones that we've had previously.
So,
and by the way, I thought, I'd never heard of Ed Sheeran before the grand final last year.
He was good.
I actually thought he was good.
So just before you back away,
I reckon
from
it's
this
really
one,
it's really important that the act that they get is... And the act that they get is big enough that the whole crowd, and there are a lot of songs, all of the songs we all know. Mm. So the younger generation and the older generation. Whereas Ed, as good as he was, there were...
Young generation.
Yes, yep. Young generation.
Australian made this act or internationally made?
No. Just be comfortable with that.
Yeah,
just be comfortable with that.
Now you just start to wonder whether he actually is just guessing or whether there's something to it when he doesn't give you an answer like that. Is there any other probing we can do, Jay-Z?
Or male or female?
Male or female, yeah.
Just leave it.
Group or single?
Right?
A group or
just,
a person?
Just let
it bubble.
Has this come from your man that provides you with...
Yes, I might just keep sort of adding information as the year goes.
Big act.
Guitars, bass, drums. Will Minson, what's going on with Will Minson? Where's he at, Duck? What are you hearing? What's going on with him?
Well, clearly he's not in the team. He got reported last week. Did he get rubbed out?
Yes.
Yeah, so he's obviously having a holiday this weekend, but... Clearly, he's not doing the things that's required, and players have gone ahead
quick.
Of him in this team. He
Four was very quick.
Well, very quick. He was All Australian 2 years ago.
Yep.
He'll probably beat another club next year because clearly a change of coach didn't change anything either for him. So he's sort of been on the outer for a little while now.
The query on him, we think, Baz, is he's around the ground stuff. So they like his strength in the taps, but then what does he offer them around the ground in terms of his marking? I think there's been a couple of games where he probably hasn't provided the marking option enough intensity around the contest around the ground. So that's a question mark on him.
So does that mean we're going to see the finish of him? Because age would be 30, wouldn't he?
Well, you look at a club like Geelong Essendon, desperate for another ruckman. I'd be surprised if, as Duck said, if he's not at possibly one of those two clubs.
Who are the great around the grounds ruckman? Who's he... put up again, like Toddy Goldstein is obviously magnificent at the moment. We spoke about Nat Newey earlier, the West Coast Eagles. Is that, I mean, that's the top echelon. Where's he got to be?
I don't think he's providing enough of that at the moment around the ground.
What he's got to be is he's got to play a role like Mumford does for Greater Western Sydney. Yep. He's got to be that crash bash, just compete, bring the ball to the ground, follow up, you know, make way for your on ballers. He's got to have that sort of competitiveness and desperation because he's not as tall or as athletic as other ruckmen.
We look at Essendon today, Baz. You're a proud Essendon man. So James Hird plays Johnny Giles for the first time this season. And we've all been wondering where he is because they've been struggling for ruckman. They played Jake Carlisle against West Coast. Sean McKernan's been okay, probably in that position. Do you think Hurdy's taken too long to give Johnny Giles a go?
Well, I think he wanted to give McKernan a go. I think the choice had to be made between one and two. And I suppose when you give a player a go, you've got to give him that run of games. So he committed himself to give McKernan that run of games. And we know that McKernan's been good in spurts and he can be very exciting and jump into a game. And then he goes a little bit quiet. And, of course, he's playing at the VFL at the moment today. But, yeah, probably the frustration from an Essendon supporter's point of view is we got this guy into play in the ruck. You lose Bell Chambers. When's he going to get a run?
Okay, well, you didn't get him to play in the ruck. You got him there as a
backup ruckman.
But it's not a puzzle. If clearly he's not getting a game in this side now because of the injuries and everything else that they've had. He's not good enough in their eyes.
He struggled at GWS to get a game when they were really young.
Everyone keeps saying, bring Giles in because he's tall. Yeah. If he's not playing good enough or he's not good enough, why bring him in?
And people were saying that he was playing well at the VFL level. Two different levels. There have been many, many players that are VFL specialists that can play really well at that level that cannot get a kick at the AFL level.
That's a good point. But on the back of that, McKernan's been really struggling in the ruck. Mm. The ruck, he's been getting slaughtered. Gives away a lot of free kicks.
Not a ruckman.
That's right. So is the opportunity given or is it not given? You know, the coaching staff have said nobody gets an opportunity today.
The knock on Giles is the ability to run and cover the ground. Yeah. That's what Hurdy's been struggling with watching him in the VFL. You know, can he get to contest over four quarters? So that's something to watch very closely today, Duck, just to see how he goes in that department.
I'll tell you what, Jakey King is waiting patiently down there for Daniel G and Syracuse to come out. And Jakey is just flaring up at the nostrils because if he doesn't get there very shortly, I think Jake's going to drag him out by the tweezers and really give it a good yank and say, mate, you're supposed to be here 5 minutes.
Yes.
It's just Jakey doesn't probably hasn't quite got the protocol yet.
He's got a very short fuse, little Jakey.
Are you with us down there, Jakey? I think you've got your man, Daniel G and Syracuse. Take it away, mate.
I have got me man. He made me wait, and I don't like waiting that long, Jay, so you're lucky. But, mate, it was a great win last week. You have to say this one's a little bit more important coming towards the good end of the season.
I won't let you wait again, Jakey. they're all important. Obviously, the business end of the season's upon us, and there's no easy games in the AFL, and we're looking for Essendon. They've been playing some pretty good footy over the last month especially, so looking for their best, and can't wait for it.
Appreciate your time, Gia. It's Brian Taylor here with Jake Clark, Wayne Carey and Barry Denny. You guys are buzzing along at the moment. You're fast becoming everyone's second team again, mate, like you were a few years back.
Yeah, hopefully that changes, BT, because we're winning games of footy. But the boys got back
to exciting, isn't it?
It is. They got back to some really good form last week. We moved the ball a bit quicker than what we have probably the month before that. So we're looking to do that again tonight against Essendon.
Just tell me a little bit about my man, who I know a lot about, Jakey Stringer.
Oh, well, you've named him the package, haven't you? And he's pretty happy with that, I think. Yeah. He's calling himself that.
But I reckon he would
be. We've tried to quieten that down a little bit, BT.
Yes, I won't assist there, G, because I'm going to rev it up as much as I can. But he does have a little bit of everything, doesn't he? And he's the perfect size for a really robustly built footballer.
Yeah, he's an exciting player, and he's got so much growth in his game, and he's already having impact, you know, in his third year of footy. So, you know, he's got to work on his tank and getting up and down the ground a bit more, but in the future we see him going into the midfield and obviously doing some damage forward as he has done this year.
Gia, you've been at the club for a long time, and I guess one of the flaws of the club has always been that big forward or forward target. You got Barry Hall there, he filled that hole for a little while, but you look now and obviously Cramery back in that side. We just spoke about the package, Stringer, Redpath, Boyd's in the Magoos today, but he's going to be an exciting prospect. You add Dale House to that, who plays a bit more through the middle now, but he's an absolute star that doesn't get the credit he deserves. All of a sudden you've got a very, very potent forward line.
Yeah, I think the best forward lines, and you look back to, you know, Geelong and Brisbane when they're at their peak, and obviously the Hawks now, they've got about five, six players that can kick over 20, 30 goals a year. We're aiming to do that, then you don't become predictable to the opposition. And as you mentioned, those guys can definitely do that, and we're looking for them to do that again tonight.
Is it the most talented Bulldog forward line that you've seen?
Yeah, it is. They've got the most talent. As you know, getting them to work together and getting that chemistry right, that takes a bit of time. But as we saw last week, it was starting to get somewhere where we'd like it to be, but again, there's another challenge tonight against a really good Essendon defence.
Gee, it's Jay Clark here. I reckon a lot of people would have watched Matty Boyd at the end of last year and thought he was finished. Possibly not getting on great with the former coach, but geez, he's been an absolute unsung hero, I think, of that back line this year, averaging up near 30 possessions. You've known him for a long time. What are you making of Matty Boyd's season?
I think, you know, what you said there, just he's got a new lease on life going to half back and probably got a bit more time than what he had in the midfield because, you know, there's obviously a lot of pressure inside the contest and he's able to hit his targets and he's been fantastic for us. Obviously, he's got to defend well and he's done that also. So the opposition have been able to exploit him in that position and he adds drive from that back half, but so does Johannesson, so does Murphy, so does Wood. So it's pretty hard to stop those four all at the same time.
What about the brainiac, Wilbur Minson? We're just speaking about him before and where he's at and why he's not playing and all that sort of thing. Has his form just dropped away? Or it's just the fact that team's going so well that there's been no need for his services? Where's he at?
Well, he got suspended last week, so that doesn't help. So that's why he didn't play in the VFL today.
Right.
But Will's an important part of our side, and I think that just shows that we're getting a bit of depth on our list. And, you know, Bevo's really encouraged guys that have played well at VFL level, and he's promoted them up to the ones. And, you know, Will's in the same spot as Tom Campbell and Bordy if he plays in the ruck and guys like this. So, but he's going well. You know, Mintz is like, he's a pretty lovable character and he gets around the boys, so we're looking to get him back into the side in the near future.
Yeah, so on the back of that, Tommy Campbell, you've given him the opportunity, the coaching staff, and really pleasing effort last week against Grundy and Witts.
Yeah, it was, you know, and he's got his chance, as other guys have from VFL, good form in the VFL, and we're looking for him to do that today against a different ruckman in Giles. Obviously, he's got his chance for Essendon, so it should be a good contest with guys about the same amount of games as experience.
Yeah, Stewie Cramery taking on the Bombers today. He went through a rough trot, as some of the players who have gone through this Asada spell have done early in this year, was sent to the VFL back and playing some good footy. How has he handled everything just on a personal level that you've noticed? Has he been showing the strain at time of this Asada investigation?
Yeah, I think obviously with the second, with WADA appealing it, I think that's probably got to him a little bit. But Stewie's a pretty no-fuss sort of guy. Nothing seems to faze him too much on the exterior anyway. So, but it was good to see him get back into some really good form. Last week showed what he can do, and I think he can be a real superstar of this competition. He's got all the athletic attributes. He just has to do it consistently, and hopefully he can do that again against his old side tonight.
Gee, you've become a very serious operator since you've become a coach. You're just all serioused up on us. Yeah. And
I'm not a very funny guy, so I'm trying to keep it straight.
You're very, very funny, man. You're just gone all serious on us. You're going to beat Daniel G in Syracuse one day?
Again? One day? I don't know. Is that fun? Was that a joke there?
No.
Was it? Sorry, BT.
Just trying to lighten it up a bit, Gia, but that's all good,
well,
mate.
I thought we lightened it up a bit with the package. And,
yes,
I'm sure you'll fuel that again today on the commentary.
Yeah, well, if he plays well, we will. If he doesn't, we won't
mention
it.
Well, let's hope so for my sake as a forward line coach.
Good on you, Gia.
Cheers, guys. Thanks for having me.
Just noticing coming down onto the ground there, people just getting onto the ground. I believe Bobby Diol, and you may ask, who is Bobby Diol? Yeah. Is a special guest of the Essendon Football Club today.
Who's Bobby?
He's a Bollywood superstar, and he's got about 20,000 of his mates with him.
A Bollywood.
And they're going down into the Essendon rooms there at the moment. And it was interesting because they come out on the ground to get into the Essendon rooms, and they were closely watched by security, not that they needed that. But a couple of policemen snuck in the middle of them. So I think they wanted to go and have a look in the Essendon rooms as well. And boy, did they stand out. So that was interesting. Anyway, Bobby Diol is the man's name. Travis Collier joins us from the Bombers now here in the commentary box. Trav, good afternoon. Welcome to you.
Thanks for having us.
What's going on with the navicular, I think, wasn't it?
Yep. So I'm about six weeks post-op now, still on the crutches, and then another sort of six after that when I get them off on Wednesday.
What hopefully. Sort of damage they do inside in terms of surgically? A couple
just
little pieces?
Scraped out a little bit of bone, got a bit of bone marrow from the hip and put a nice little screw straight across it. So I don't think we'll be doing too much from now on.
A normal pre-season though, is possible?
I think that's the plan. We're obviously no rush at the moment. So it's all just dictating on how it pulls up with the recovery, getting out of the boot and getting everything else right. So it's one of those injuries, I think, where there's probably more talked about the bad ones as opposed to, you know, the successful ones. So,
well, you're under a coach that had one of them.
Yeah, so it's good to be able to talk to Herdy and get his thoughts about it. And we've got great medical staff who'll get me back out there.
Trav, How is the team coping? I mean, it seems that your finals chances are shot, and Hurdy's been under a bit of pressure. How have you guys been able to stay motivated towards the back end of the season? Because it does become difficult once, you know, you're out of the September calculations.
Yeah, I was in this position in my first year where you know 5-6 weeks of footy left. But I think the big thing is that you can easily focus on the negatives and what actually hasn't gone well, whereas you can look at some of the good names playing today and some of the younger guys. I think that's for the older guys is motivation, seeing them come through and actually giving them a really good experience, and for them, just, you know, there's some guys who are out of contract in their second and third year who are really pushing for another contract and keep going. So I think you just got to look at these 5 weeks and go, all right, let's play some good footy, let's challenge some sides who probably might beat us, might not, and just get the processes in place.
While we're talking about Hurdy, how's he going mentally, and how's his positivity around the club? Clearly, back at the club this year, started well, had your issues. As you said, you're playing a lot of young players now. How have you seen his year as a whole?
I think it's obviously probably been a bit dictated by how the team's going a little bit as well, that realisation of getting back into it. But he's added a lot of life and a lot of enthusiasm around the footy club. I haven't been around around the last couple of weeks, but from speaking to the boys, it's been really positive, and I think that's a great characteristic of Hurdy, is he's very positive in his messages and the way he likes to approach it. So he creates a good environment to come to every day.
Hey, Trev, you blokes have obviously been doing it tough for the last few years, but who's a couple of the players that sort of lighten the mood around the club? You know, the ones that put the prawns under your car seat and just sort of lift them. Who are they?
Well, one of the boys out there today, Nick O'Brien, he likes to have a bit of a joke. So if you actually look at his boots, he's coloured them in with permanent markers. He didn't want to wear the orange. So he creates a bit of life around the change rooms and gets a few little gags going during the week.
And those gags during the week, Jakey Carlisle clearly hasn't signed back in the team today. Generally, the players do know BT. They don't give you anything.
No.
But I've got to ask, do you think he's going to stay? Or
Obviously, I haven't been around a whole lot in the last little bit. I'm pretty confident that he will, to be honest. I think he's got a really good relationship with all the boys and with the coaches. And hopefully the club can get it sorted. So I personally am pretty confident that he'll hang around.
Trev, the meeting a month or so ago, which all the players went into and spoke very openly and honestly, were you a part of that, mate?
Yeah, I sat in on that. Yeah.
You obviously probably can't go into too many details, but what was that like? I mean, it sounded like it was a pretty intensive, pretty emotional chat amongst the players.
Yeah, it's probably been sort of blown out a little bit in terms of what it was. It was just a really good chat to actually have a discussion of, you know, how we're going mentally and physically with footy and with everything else that's going on. Obviously, on the back of a tough loss, it's not the way you really want to be bringing up the subject or whatever it's about. But it was just good to have some honesty and some real good communication between the players and the coach and just how we're feeling. Like, it's that time of the year where you're getting a bit tired anyway, so it was just good to put it out there and just, you know, see how everyone's coping.
Boys would have noticed on the TV the other day, Job sitting over at the cricket with a potty in hand, they would have had a bit of a giggle.
Yeah, we put it up during the week to say he's enjoying himself, so it's good for him to get away and just have a bit of time. Obviously, he's had it pretty tough this year, so hopefully he'll
He definitely needed to clear the brain, didn't he?
Just mentally to freshen up. I think it's good for him just to get away. So,
Trev, you're doing some business studies, or you're completing a business degree.
Yep.
And is it right you're actually been talking with the Essendon executives and the chief executive Xavier Campbell, just doing stuff behind the scenes, just sort of, you know, showing the boys how to run a footy club?
I've just been going upstairs and through the footy department and having some good chats with Xavier, because it is a business at the end of the day and it's something that I want to be doing. So it's a good opportunity to get some little bit of work experience and understanding as to how things function. So just sitting in on meetings and listening to how things go, it's been a quite eye-opening, really, because we're only exposed to the footy stuff on a day-to-day basis.
Talking to Travis Collier, injured bomber, in the box with us on Triple M Footy. Trev, what about big Jonathan Giles? Does he love the sort of the talk around him getting a game, and does he walk into the club at training and say, look at this, boys, and Brian reckons I should be playing in the papers. Jay reckons I should be getting a game. What's going on? Has he been loving him? I mean, he's got a chance today.
Yeah, that's good. It's really good for John. I think they've obviously made him really work hard for his spot, and I think he'll just bring something a little bit different, and hopefully he'll help us out today.
Was there anything in the Dyson Heppel last week, Brendan Goddard, just being stronger, not allowing Goddard. We know that he can be an emotional player out on the ground, but I thought it showed great leadership last week when Dyson got over to him and just said, settle down, young man. I'm the skipper of this club. You need to pull your head in a little bit.
Yeah, I think it was great that he had the confidence to go over to him. And that's something that BJ's been working on. Obviously, he's pretty fiery when he gets out on the field. And his feedback at times can't be is quite direct, so just to pull him in, and I think it shows even the younger guys at the club that you can have those chats with the leaders of the club on the field and off the field. So I thought it was a really, really good thing.
Yep.
Appreciate your time, Trav. Thanks for taking time to come and join us in the commentary box.
No worries, thanks guys.
Travis Collier, who'll be back next year, hopefully with a full pre-season under his belt. By the way, Bobby Diol, there he is down there on the boundary line now. He wants to go out on the ground. Security have decided that he won't be taking one step near the ground. And Bobby, who's a Bollywood superstar, is going, hey, mate, I'm Bollywood
never heard of
style
him.
Here. And the security man's going, get back in there.
Don't know him.
This is all part of Essendon's Embracing India campaign, okay. The Bollywood superstar down there amongst his people. So great to see. They're thoroughly enjoying themselves, I might add. So another initiative shown by the Essendon Footy Club.
Jay, just a couple of little snippets before you wander off into the afternoon.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting tomorrow. The MRP debate is really going to blow up again, Baz and Duck, and in particular over the sling tackle, which has been very murky, hasn't it? No one's really that clear on what's happening with the sling tackle, and the AFL are going to try and clear it up at the end of the year. But we saw on Friday night Frawley dump Jack Riewoldt into the turf, and what the MRP will look at was if there was a bit of a head contact there. I think he'll get off. Spoke to Chris Fagan on Friday night that he thinks that it shouldn't have even been a report and that Frawley will get off. The other MRP worry for the Hawks, and I'm a bit surprised by this one as well, was Brian Lake shoving Tyrone Vickery into the fence. Duck, did you see that? Or
I don't think either have anything to worry about. I thought the tackle was okay.
Yeah.
And also, it was the momentum of Tyrone Vickery. It wasn't a push, wasn't a shove. It was just his momentum that, he went into the fence with a little bit of force. The umpire, probably thought there was a push. There wasn't. And that'll get cleared up by the MRP. I think both will get thrown out.
Yeah.
I don't think either have got a case to answer.
Is the sling tackle going to be something easily we work out of the game, or is this going to be a problem for years?
Oh, it's hard to adjudicate.
The reason why it's hard to adjudicate, and we spoke to Taylor Adams, who just, I was going to say Taylor
Adams.
Lee Adams, who, just retired because of concussion. Now, my argument to this has always been that. Now, he gets concussed very easily. Mm. Doesn't need a lot of contact to the head. So he goes off. Therefore, that would be adjudicated that, you've caused that injury. Whereas another player can have, that same force and just get up and play on, and there won't be. So for me, for this particular ruling, I think it has to be black and white. I guess if their head does hit the ground with and it's in that motion that's dangerous, and whether they're knocked out or not, it's got to be, whether it be 1 week, a fine or whatever, I think it's just got to be across the board.
Some clarity.
Because there's some clarity. So it can't be adjudicated off the back of just the injury, because that's where we're just getting so much inconsistency.
And Jay, you got something else?
Yeah, some trade news. I watched Jake Carlisle with interest, with great interest today. We hear that North Melbourne are having a bit of a look with some ageing key defensive stocks. Ferrito, Joel Tippett probably hasn't quite worked out from the VFL, and Scotty Thompson, I think, 28 or 29.
Tarrant's been there.
And Tarrant and Brisbane are having a look at Tarrant. He's a free agent, Robbie Tarrant. So all of a sudden, their back line, they start to be a bit of a question mark. So they're having a look at Jake Carlisle, but he won't come cheap. So that'll be interesting.
It's going to be interesting to see whether he stays, Duck. Jake Carlisle, one that sticks out from the pack a little bit.
Well,
a lot of talent.
He is. Clearly, we know that he's been a very good defender, and he's played some really good footy in that forward line. There may very well be. Well, there'd be plenty of suitors out there. Hasn't had a fantastic year, has shown glimpses. He's had his injury issues. But for me, it's a concern because I think the door was ajar to have discussions earlier in the year. Mm. That door got closed during the year. That's not a good sign. So clearly the Bombers will want to keep him, but there has to be some doubt now.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks football.